This is what, episode 128? I don't know. I had to restart my computer so my fucking notice disappeared.
There's a new location, Untapped at Home. I don't know what that is. Oh, Everywhere, Home Private.
Okay. Yeah, that started with the whole COVID thing. So I'm moving next week. That's good. We're closing. We're signing our documents tomorrow to sell this place. Not tomorrow. I'm sorry, Monday, which is today. Today in podcast time. Podcast time today, earlier today, I will sign. Depending on when you listen to the podcast, Monday signing on my existing home, and then Wednesday we're signing on the new home, and then good. I have rent. I have things happening, you know, cleaning out the house, getting the garage door openers installed, getting appliances installed on Thursday, and the official move is happening on Monday. Only, everything is harder and more of a pain in the ass now, though, with this whole COVID thing. So, like I can't just, have the movers put everything in the rooms, all the things. So, essentially, what we're doing is, the big furniture items, beds and stuff like that, we're having them put those in the house and the rooms. Everything else we're having put in the garage so we can kind of go through it ourselves and kind of minimize the amount of foot. Minimize the amount of foot traffic in the house is the biggest thing, because I mean, it's not like, it's not like on Thursday I'm having a guy come out and install the appliances. Well, I mean, it's one guy who's just in the kitchen and I'll be the only one there. And then I leave after. Like on Monday, that's it. We're we won't have this house anymore the following Monday. Yeah. We need to be super cautious right now with everything, but we'll make it through it. We'll disinfect it. We'll take bleach baths as soon as everybody's done setting the furniture up and stuff, and we'll start enjoying the new house best we can.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So what do you got going on? Just enjoying
sitting around the house. Yeah, sitting around the house, not doing a whole lot. I got nothing to look forward to, like a new one. But I don't know. I mean, it's been nice because we've been able to learn new things, like how not to spend so much money. We're not going out as much, at all. Every now and then we'll order something, like this weekend for Easter. We're gonna order a takeout or pickup or whatever that. That's rare. So it's nice to be able to have that extra money and try not to watch the stock market, as I'm still continuing to invest. I'm still continuing to put my money in because I'm supposed to. And
dollar cost average.
Yep. Not worrying about it. Just keep putting the money in. And that's pretty much all I'm doing and working. So, but it's stressing me out. I think it's going to take a little while for this to get over. Even when it has actually gone, I think the lingering effects, the PTSD, is probably going to hang around for people for a while.
I think so, and I think the problem is until there's a permanent solution, i.e., a vaccine. I think it's going to have to be. I think we're gonna until there's a vaccine where they can say, okay, take this shot, and then you won't get this. I think our lives are going to be at least to a certain extent different than they were, until we can, again, get something that we can get shot into our arm once a year that says, all right, now you're good. You're not going to get COVID for the next year. That's the only way I think that really we're going to be able to go back to just kind of what we were doing before. But, nonetheless, we will persevere as we do. And one way I think we'll be able to do that, Robert, a little bit better is with alcohol. And I think it might be a good time to talk about some beer. Let's move on.
Hey, everybody. I'm here to show you how to properly pour beer and then drink it.
Good news is, we do have some COVID crazy news, because that's all the news is related to that. We have some things that are not COVID, though.
It's really difficult.
And crazy news.
Well, we've totally fucked up this intro, because it's just that time of year, it's that time of day, it's that time of minute, it's that time of everything. It's episode 128.
It is.
I'm Robert.
Rob. Hi, I'm Rob. He's Robert. Hi. This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We're also going to discuss a breakthrough in anal print technology.
And in this week's crazy news, we're going to talk about a courtesy flush, some check nudists, a U-Haul dummy, golf and a lap dance, and a homeless man. Social distancing for almost 5 years now. You and I have.
We've been socially distancing, for a very long time.
Yeah.
To the point where we just completely forget the intros. You clicked on the episode, you know it's the Two Bobs, you know.
It's us.
What can I
it's
say? Us.
And if you're new to it, Rob's, you started doing this last week or the week before, but it's all blur to me. But we're not in the same room. Yeah. He's in Michigan, I'm in Virginia, so some of that will come out if you're new to the show. And if you are, welcome. And if you're not new, then thank you for coming back. But we're gonna talk about some beers.
Yeah, so if you are new to the Two Bobs, we talk about beer, and every week we have a new beer. And most weeks we have new beers. We've been stumbling lately.
I'm going this weekend. Comes
to new beers. I've accidentally had... You know, beers, breweries have changed names. That's the worst. But anyway, this week on the Two Bobs, I have from our friends over at Perrin Brewing Company, I have a carrot cake cream ale. And, you know, when I think beer and I think carrot cake, I don't necessarily picture them going together. But nonetheless, the folks over at Perrin, who are good with some of the unique flavors, found a way to do it. Carrot cake cream ales, 5.8 alcohol. Yep. Seriously, we have done this before. So this is 5.8% alcohol. So what the website like throws the ABV like in the middle of a sentence. And so it's very awkward to read it out aloud because it's very weird. So anyway, it's 5.8% alcohol by volume. Carrot cake cream ale. Perrin's first side hustle series release of 2020 debuts at the Perrin pub on draft and in six packs of 12 ounce cans on January 25th. Although you can't probably go there and get any right now. Distribution throughout the state of Michigan to follow. Pour out a slice of sweet and creamy carrot cake blended with pineapple, lactose, and 300 pounds of real carrots. Carrot cake cream ale is brewed with a wide variety of special malts for a rich cake flavor, and malty backbone. 7 moist decadence carrot cakes from Arnie's Bakery. Arnie's must have a good carrot cake. We're added to the mash to lend carrot cakes cream ale a delectable dose of authentic locally baked flavor. The sheet cakes were made with freshly shredded carrots, crushed pineapple, raisins, cake flour, and eggs, and topped with whipped cream cheese icing on top. Jimmy and Arnie Fallon of Arnie's made this statement about their partnership with Perrin. Excellence is doing ordinary things extraordinary well with our award-winning carrot cake and Perrin's excellent brewing talents. We know you'll love this side hustle release. Working with good, honest, and passionate people at another local business makes it fun to collaborate and create together with. Oh, they ended the sentence with a fucking preposition. The folks at family-owned Arnie's Bakery have been creating delicious treats in Grand Rapids since 1905. Perrin will release a new side hustle series that, like, they're talking about everything but the fucking beer. The side hustle series every other month for statewide distribution. You know how I do this. I gotta read the whole thing. It's gonna bother me if I don't. The side hustle series allows Perrin's brewers to creatively explore ingredients and techniques and provide Michigan craft lovers with innovative new flavors. With Carrot Cake Cream Ale, you can have your cake and drink it too. Derp. Get your hands on it at Perrin Pub starting January 25th. Pick up a six-pack at your local Michigan craft beer cellar. So I picked this one up when I bought a bunch of beer in Frankenmuth back in, was it the beginning of March? The end of February. I think it was end of February before everything, all the shit hit the fan. I'm going to take a drink and I'm going to let you know what I think about it. So there is a definite sweetness. So Very aromatic, very sweet.
Yeah.
It's a nice kind spicy? Of like almost an amber yeah. color.
Yeah, that's
definitely
wild.
Some spices in there. It definitely has a carrot cake taste. I mean, there's definitely notes of the things that you know, the carrots, the spices that you would normally find in carrot cake as well. A little bit of pineapple. I can definitely there's some spice, so definitely some cinnamon in there. It is sweet, but not like overbearing. So it is one where I could probably have. You know, more than one and not feel like I was, you know, going into, you know, I was getting diabetes or anything from it. But it's a really good beer. I rated it a 4 on Untappd and unique, but I think very well balanced at the same time with the flavors. Good job. Oh, and yeah. Perrin, we've had a few times, but not so many times that I can't tell you what we've had on the show. Episode 31, Snack Machine, I have a Triangulation Imperial Oatmeal Stout from Perrin. Episode 106, DUI Time Machine, I had a Kingdom of Tonga episode, and that's it. So this is our third time with Perrin. Good job. Not well, me, just Perrin, because I'm just sucking it up tonight.
I did a beer finder on their website, and it says zero results for near me, so that sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. I think... do you have Perrin at all down by you? I feel like you probably don't. They're a smaller brewery, you know, very Michigan based.
Well, I'll have to look to see because we're big fans of the carrot cake in this house. So it'd be nice if I could get something like that. It sounds good.
Yeah, moved to Michigan. Not now. Everything's falling apart right
it's
now.
It's locked down.
Yeah, you don't want to move to Michigan right now. No.
Yeah.
Give us some time.
Well, hopefully this weekend I'll be able to, well, I can get out. I just need to. And I think I told you before, and whether it was last week or during the week, that I was going to try to get over to one of the local breweries and get a growler filled. And I just never did it because I'm still afraid to touch anything, but that's all right. So I've got a beer that I had a couple weeks ago. It's the Sierra Nevada 40th anniversary ale, their hoppy anniversary ale, I guess. And Sierra Nevada is a big, I guess I'm a big fan of theirs anyway, so I always liked the Sierra Nevada. It was one of the first beers that I drank that was an IPA style that had a lot of the hops to it, and I enjoyed this one. I rated it 3 3/4. If you've ever had a Sierra Nevada, there's not a whole lot special about it as far as their anniversary. And Melissa asked me that. She said, well, does it taste any different? So maybe if I put two to side by side, I could tell that there was a difference between this one. But to me, it's just a good Sierra Nevada, so if you find it, drink it. You'll like it. That's my review this week.
Perfect. I like it. It's like a tenth of what mine was. I hadn't even gotten through the first paragraph of my reading at this point. So
I didn't even read it, Rob. It's a hoppy ale. It's not overly. It's not if you're not an IPA fan. It's not going to bother you. It does have some hops, but it's not overly bitter like some of the stronger ones. So probably not going to be a big fan of it if you don't like IPAs. But if you do, you'll enjoy it. And I've had Sierra Nevada a bunch of times on the show. Well, actually, that could be a lie. 44 Crotch Nuggets. I had the Celebration. That's actually a very good holiday, like seasonal Christmas time. It's got that Christmas type feel to it with some of the spices in there. And then Hazy Little Thing, 104 Mermaid Enthusiast. I had then 124 Crack Bites. I had the Hoppy Anniversary Ale. And 124, this is only 128, but who knows how long ago that was with the way we've been the last couple of weeks, but seriously. Anyhow, now you don't have anymore. I think you dropped the bomb on me, and that's kind of a pun unintentionally, but you don't have your bidet anymore because years back, well, not years, well, it is years back now. We got bidets as gifts to the show from Bio Bidet. And I was just thinking about that the other day. I haven't seen much of their stuff on Facebook. Hopefully they're still around, but so your bidet hasn't been working. You're not going to be taking it to the new house, or you're gonna have a real official one installed or not at all?
No.
What's going on?
Yeah, we're just I just think we're just not gonna be doing the bidet thing, which I anticipated the toilet paper shortage. You know, I would have maybe thought second oh boy I might have given it some more thought, but it kind of like it started acting up. So it was on the fritz, you know, it was like randomly, like, you know, squirting the kids, and they weren't fans of that or anything. And so, like, eventually I gave up on it, and I just got rid of it. And so it's been a while since I had it, to be honest with you. And I thought I had told you at the time. Apparently not. My apologies. But I did get rid of the bidet, and the new house does not have a bidet, and likely won't get one. I don't know where we would have one installed, like a separate one. And Kelly wouldn't allow it anyway.
Wow. What does she
care? In the middle of the master bedroom.
Yeah. I forget that you have to have two separate. It's like you have to have two separate ones because you don't have the lid. You gotta have room to just kind of squat your business right over it. But
yeah, then you got to do that. You got to shuffle over to the other one and turn the knob. That's how they do it in you know, Japan and Europe, the places that have it.
You better hope your dingleberry doesn't drop on the way over there. That's the problem.
Well, that's my biggest concern, is if there's like a hanging chad, if
Klingon.
Yeah, man, that'd be a big problem. But
now, anyway, what if you had a toilet that had a camera in there, and every time you went to take a dump, it took a picture of your butt? Is that what this does? You're the one that sent me the link.
Yeah, I don't know where we are because oh, here we go. Yeah. So there's like just random things on the show. I don't know. We're just jumping around. Honestly, I was trying to figure out where the fuck we were going, because I'm looking at a picture of Doritos and you're talking about the bidet. And
well, so, the Doritos will ultimately go in there.
And by the way, the new house won't have one of these either. But essentially what this is, it is from Mashable, this toilet. It recognizes your butthole.
Yeah.
And it uploads photos to the cloud. So and it's, you know, I'm not engaging in this, but it's not as just freaky as it sounds. So this Stanford, the prestigious Ivy League school, they want you to boldly go where no one has gone before. Specifically, that would be into a camera laden toilet that scans and recognizes your anal print.
Right.
Yeah.
Like fingerprint, Rob.
Yeah. So researchers at the university, they've devised a system for tracking defecation and urination by specific individuals over time. And they're sending that data to the cloud where it should be, so it can get hacked and distributed to your friends and family, and analyzing it for purposes of public health. It's the latest addition to a long line of smart toilets, although this may be the first one that actually takes a picture of your asshole. So it has four cameras: the stool camera, the anus camera, I'm not even making this up, two Euroflow cameras. Combined, they allow the toilet to analyze users' urine and classify their stool according to the Bristol Stool Form scale using deep learning. I didn't even know there was a scale to that. And so it's for science. It's for understanding shit, I guess. I don't even know.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the one thing that's weird about it, is like there's a purpose to the bidet, right? It's there to clean things up when you're done. And this is just kind of one of those, well, I'm going to take pictures and it's going to be weird, but I don't know that this, why can't you just put it in a little cup like normal people do and send it somewhere where they can analyze it? Why do they got to take pictures of it? And they're identifying you by having the anal cam or whatever it was. There's a part of me that wants that to be the show title, and the other part thinks it'd be the end of the show, the anal print scan, if we did that. But but why? I understand the science of it, but I don't understand the need to create this. And who's buying it? Are they providing it to you if you sign up? Are they paying me to use this thing for like every time, like
research,
a paperclip?
Robert, it's part of science. It's breakthrough science. It enables longitudinal monitoring of human health with minimal interference of human behavior.
But only of the people who are weird enough to put this on their toilet. It's not like it's a random sampling of everybody that takes a crap every day.
Well, and not to mention, like, you know, you got to think, what if somebody else sits on your toilet? Like you're,
well,
you're
that's why it's got the anal print scan.
Well, but it's still got to take. There's still cameras pointed at your bits as you're sitting down on this thing. So, like, if you're right. hosting a party, you have family over. Like, you got to put a sign saying, "You know, your crotch and your asshole are going to be photographed and sent through the internet. Don't worry, it's encrypted. But I mean,
like, sign a waiver.
You gotta, you know, hey, before you go in that one, just so you know, release. That's the one with all the cameras in it.
That's right. It's gonna upload your butt to Facebook.
Yeah, it's gonna take pictures of you pissing and shitting. Just so you're aware. And don't worry though, it doesn't stay on the toilet. It sends it up to the internet. It's encrypted. Right. You know.
Would
so,
you like this to be your new Facebook profile photo?
Yes. Yeah. Please. So again, I won't be partaking, but interesting nonetheless.
Well. So if Kelly wouldn't do the bidet, would she be okay with this in the house?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. That's curious. Yeah, you can't have your kids use it. This is a lot of weird. I don't know.
Like, what do I get out of it? Like, you know,
That's what I said. You said research.
Yeah, but I don't care about that.
Right. That's why I want money.
Maybe some people think that they're giving back or something. I don't want anybody taking video of my asshole. I don't care if. What
I want 10 bucks a dump. That's what I want.
Like, you're gonna get a commission. If you're gonna give me a commission, I mean, you know, I'll do a hell of a lot more than that on the toilet if you're gonna pay me for it. But I mean, if I'm not making dollars, if I'm not making dollars, it's not gonna happen. But anyway, so this has been great.
This crazy would have news. Been something to have had before we were quarantined. We could have done a lot of fun with this machine.
I'd put pictures of assholes on there and see if it could trick it into thinking it was a real one,
like the Keurig, where you put the your Keurig pods don't have the little cute, you know, 3D barcode on it, so you gotta trick it by taping one on the inside. It's kind of like that.
I need glitter. I get random calls. Sir, this is Dr. Rogers, MD, from Stanford University. We were looking at your latest bowel movements, and we happen to notice that they are, how do you say they're sparkly. There's reflected material inside of your shit logs. And, just wanted to, let you know, we'd like to fly in and,
put you might be a unicorn
in a hotel, and, you might, it's possible unicorn, perhaps part leprechaun. I don't know. We'll send you an ancestry DNA kit as well. So we can get some information. So yeah, so that's, again, I'm not getting one, and, it's,
that's too
it's
bad.
Very weird. It's very weird, but that's what we talk about on the two bows. We talk about weird shit. That's what we do.
And thank you to whoever it is that invented that.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
All right. I will tell you that's probably the most exhausted I've ever been after a random news, random crazy shit segment. just trying to wrap my mind around the whole thing. It's tired me out.
It sure has. You know, and no pun intended with crazy shit either. But anyway, I wouldn't want to be the person who actually has to like analyze those photos either. But anyway, stinks. Am I going? You going?
You go ahead this time.
Okay. So we're going to go straight to Key West. Why not start in Florida, where a man attacks a cellmate?
It's appropriate.
After being asked for a courtesy flush. Yep. The cellmate had been angry at Guilford Abshire for passing gas, deputies say. A homeless Key West man attacked his jail cellmate Monday after they got into an argument about his penchant for passing gas. Guilford Abshire, 53, was already in jail on a battery charge when he beat his cellmate Monday morning after relieving himself in the cell toilet, Monroe County Sheriff's Office spokesman Adam Linhart said. A 65-year-old victim who was in jail for violating his probation on DUI and drug-related charges told deputies he was upset at Abshire throughout the day for passing gas and asked him for a courtesy flush because of the smell. Instead, the victim told deputies Abshire started kicking him while he was on the bottom bunk and then threw him across the cell before deputies intervened. The victim was taken to Lower Keys Medical Center, where he was treated and released for 3 broken ribs and a broken nose. Abshire now faces 2 wow. felony counts of aggravated battery. Oops. Linhart said the men are no longer cellmates. It's good they separated them, not just because of the smell. It wasn't clear if Abshire ever followed through on his cellmate's request for a courtesy flush. That's some hard-hitting shit right there. No pun intended. Again, it's a great segue, too, from talking about... shit
anus cam, Rob.
To talking about prison quarrels over not courtesy flushing. Great.
It all begins and ends with the courtesy flush.
It really does. TTB 128 courtesy flush.
That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah. You're welcome.
I will circle that.
Yeah, I did that for you. You're welcome.
Well, the next one is going to take us to the great state of Czechoslovakia.
The great state.
Or the great state of the Czech Republic.
Is that the 51st?
I guess that's what it's called. Yeah, right after DC, where Czech nudists were reprimanded by police for not wearing face masks, Rob. They were naked, so they needed to put something over their face. But a group of Czech nudists were scolded by police officers for violating the obligation to wear protective face masks in public spaces. I'm just wondering if they were spanked. Clothes or no clothes, face masks are mandatory in Czech Republic because there's no diseases that can be kept by having your dirty bits out there in the air. The message is clear. Protective face masks have to be worn at all times in public, and no exception will be tolerated. Following reports that some nudists were sunbathing without protective face masks by the Lesny Bajanik spa resort area in the, I was going to say the pubic region, but it's Pardubice.
Pardubice.
Czech police were called to the scene to reprimand the culprits. Although nude sunbathing is allowed in the area, as it should for some, the group of sunbathers violated 2 regulations introduced by the Czech government last month to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the ban on gatherings of more than 2 people, and the obligation to wear face masks in public. Citizens can be in places designated for this purpose without clothes, commented police spokeswoman Marketa Janowska, but they must have their mouths covered and must observe the numbers in which they can go into nature. According to further reports, local police ran a second patrol the following day in the area and found no other violations of the sort. And I think that's the kind of police patrol you want. You know what, Bob? I'm going to go hang out at the naked beach there, and I'm going to make sure they're wearing masks. That could be a good one.
See, the problem here, and it is funny that the fact that people are nude sunbathing on the beach, and the the issue is the fact that they're not wearing face masks. But it is kind of
weird. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, but you know, it is. Well, I've never been to a nudist beach, but from what I've heard, listen, there's no supermodels hanging out at the nude beach. So yeah, that's part of the thing too. So if I'm the police officer, I may not be paying that close attention to anything below the neck and. What jumps out as a face mask or lack thereof at that point.
You're just going to keep your eyes up to the eye level.
Plus, it's such a fashion faux pas to wear a face mask and nothing else. I mean, you got to balance things out, you know?
It's like being nude with socks only.
What you do is when you take your underwear off, you take that and put it over your face.
I don't know.
I've seen videos of people putting diapers on their faces.
Did you see that? The TikTok?
I've seen a couple videos of it. So we're at that point now where, that's right. You know what? That's right. Karen posted something too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw my comment back as that's where we're at now. We're perfectly okay with putting diapers on our faces and going out in public, but clearly these people on the beach didn't want to do that.
Fresh diapers only, Rob.
That's very true. Maybe that was a problem. Maybe they had already used their diapers for something else.
You might be stuck. That might not be the choice you have to make.
Well, that's true too.
It's either get coronavirus or put a shitty diaper up to your nose.
That's a tough one. So our next story is going to take us to Oregon, where was arrested after a fire breaks out at U-Haul. Eugene, Oregon. A raging fire broke out last night at the U-Haul on River Road. But police say the story behind how the fire got started is even flashier than the flames themselves. Sergeant Stotts with Eugene Police Department said this all started with a dispute between a man and a woman in the U-Haul parking lot. Scott said the man was in a vehicle and threw a lit firework at the woman standing outside the vehicle. While she ducked for cover, the firework burst into sparks, and the man drove away. Unbeknownst to the man and woman, a thief was underneath one of the other U-Hauls stealing gas. Yep, sparks from the fireworks flew near the gasoline, and four of the U-Hauls burst into flames, with the thief catching on fire as well. The gasoline thief and the woman both ran from the scene, with the thief running away with his pants and sleeve on fire. Police say once they arrived, the owner of the U-Haul showed up, was able to pull the security footage, which depicted the scene described above. Stott said the footage was clear enough for them to see the license plate of the man who threw the firework, and they were able to arrest the man at his home nearby before the fire was completely cleared. He's been charged with reckless endangering, criminal mischief, and I believe those are it for right now, said Stotts.
Well, thank you.
As for the gasoline, yes, I'm sure they will. As for the gasoline thief, the police were not able to locate him. They did speak to the woman who the man threw the firework at, but police said she did not want to be involved further in the investigation. Two of the U-Haul vehicles were a total loss out of the four that caught on fire. So the guy threw a firework at a woman, bounced off of her. There happened to be somebody under one of the other U-Hauls stealing gas, and lit him and a bunch of U-Hauls on fire. And hope he's okay.
hope his arm and his pants have recovered. Right. Well, this one's going to take us to, damn it, TC Palm, which is down in Florida again. The Indian River County. And it says, woman in undies dances in the road swinging a golf club. There are places where it might be appropriate to strip down to your undies and start dancing. The middle of the street, just west of US 1, is not one of them. But that's where Indian River County Sheriff's investigators. Yeah, I went shortly after 6 p.m. on March 26th, an arrest affidavit states, investigators arrived at an address in the 2400 block of 43rd Street after a report of an intoxicated subject. They were told of a woman who appeared to be under the influence of an unknown drug as she actively took off her clothes on the roadway. The woman later identified of his 25-year-old Vero Beach resident arrived in a red pickup. Well, what she's doing just to arrive there at this random place in the middle of the street. After the female stripped down to her underclothes, she began swinging a golf club and dancing in the middle of the roadway. The affidavit did not state whether the club was a driver, a wedge, a putter, or an iron, nor did it specify the type of dance, such as foxtrot, Charleston, running man, cabbage patch, stanky leg, it's probably what it was, or the floss.
Yeah.
Deputies reported the woman paced around in her undies, slurring profanities at passersby, kind of like we're doing right now. She was jailed on a disorderly intoxication charge.
Look at that. No pictures. Too bad. No pictures or video.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, she's too good looking to put her picture out, probably. That's probably the case. You know, because all the people stripping naked and swinging golf clubs and doing other stupid shit with their clothes off are always super hot. So I'd reckon that there'd be no exception here.
25-year-old chick in Florida, the odds are probably in her favor, Rob, but I guess there's always an exception.
There's definitely always an exception. There's ones and twos everywhere, Robert, even in Florida. So our last story is going to take us where there's probably more tens than in where we were before, to San Francisco. Thousands, and by the way, this is from our friends at worldnewsdailyreport.com. So if you're looking for the real scoop on the news, that's a great place to go compared to, you know, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, Fox, things like that. So this takes us to San Francisco. Thousands infected by coronavirus after homeless men defecated in a drinking fountain.
They have a big homeless problem in San Francisco, Rob. I don't know if you know that.
There's a huge homeless problem, and apparently COVID-19 can be transmitted through drinking fountain shit. The San Francisco Department of Public Health has issued a warning to all residents after thousands could be infected from drinking at a contaminated water fountain. Thousands of San Francisco residents could have been infected after drinking from a water fountain. Why would you? From a homeless man contaminated with COVID-19, said health authorities yesterday. The homeless man apparently used the drinking fountain as a bidet. His bio bidet was broke. And washed himself off after defecating in the street. He always washes himself in the fountain after taking a dump. It's really disgusting. But the worst part is seeing people drink from it all day afterward, one local resident told reporters. I once gave him a roll of toilet paper and asked him to stop using the drinking fountain as a bidet. Later caught him trying to roll a joint with the paper, one nearby resident explained to reporters. San Francisco police also said they had arrested the man after samples of urine, excrements, and semen were found in the fountain. So he was doing more than just shitting. Masturbating, urinating, and defecating in public drinking fountains should not be encouraged or practiced by San Francisco residents, and well, he's probably not a resident, he's homeless, and are considered a health hazard to the
technicality.
SF Police Chief Andrew Simmons warned San Francisco is struggling to accommodate the thousands of homeless who have limited access to public restrooms as complaints regarding human feces have increased exponentially in past years.
So I think the water fountain had anus cam. That's how they identified him, Rob.
They used his anal print to figure out who he was. Whenever you're jailed or you have to, like, whenever you're incarcerated now, in addition to taking your fingerprints, they should also take your anal print.
They say you roll it back and forth on the little piece of paper. Oh, man. Too funny. Right. Well, that's pretty gross, but that's also a good way to end this episode. We've been a train wreck really today, but that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think everybody's feeling a little bit of that. You know, it's all right.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
Maybe we got a couple chuckles out of people. I know I was laughing.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. If you can laugh at it, then it's funny. Including COVID.
Yeah.
COVID is hilarious now. COVID's officially hilarious. It's a joke.
I will tell you, I did make a break for it last week. It was the last time I've actually been in the car. I couldn't take it anymore, and I think Kelly and I talked about it a little bit during the group chat the week prior, but I couldn't take it anymore, and I really needed some chicken nuggets, so I went to the drive-thru in the McDonald's, and it was damn good.
You know, we haven't been doing drive-thrus. We've been doing a lot of DoorDashes when we're looking to get takeout, but as far as leaving the house, honestly, we're every day or every other day, we're like, we'll just get in the car. We've been like going up and like spying on the new house, like peeking in the windows, yeah, seeing, you know, are they working on this and are they finishing that up and stuff like that. It's not just we want to just go look at the house that bad and
be, yeah, right,
but it's something to do and it gets us out of the house. Like that's been the biggest thing with us is just like today we went up and looked at the house. Well, I needed to measure the garage door, but also because I was just like, we just gotta get the fuck out of here. We can only walk around the neighborhoods so much, and we've been doing a lot of that too, just trying to just get out and walk and do other things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just, yeah, you know, everybody else, especially like, you know, today the weather was shit, so we went for a walk and like saw barely anybody else. But then the other day it was 70 degrees and sunny. Like it was like you're playing pinball going down the street because you're trying to all avoid each other. So like,
yeah,
you know, you're on one side then you're on the other. And I have two kids who are just, they refuse to ride next to each other. So one's 30 feet in front of me, the other one's 30 feet behind me. And I'm telling Harrison to hurry the fuck up. And also trying to make sure that they're not getting like too close to people and stuff like that. But
yeah.
So, the end story is this shit just needs to get over and done with, and so we can all move on with our lives. But anyways, that all being said, next week I'm moving, so I don't know if we're going to have an opportunity to record. But if not next week, week after, I will be reporting from the new studio, which is going to be just in a
in the garage
basement. I think you can get into the house. It'll be in an unfinished basement. It's going to be great.
All you need is a single light bulb, my friend.
And I'll have, yeah, I got to figure that out too. We'll figure it out.
As long as you got your internet by then, you can be set up and ready to go. So we'll play it by ear, and hopefully we'll see you in 2 weeks then, probably for episode 29 or 129. I need another drink.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. See you then.
It'll be good. See you.
Yep. Bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.